Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the name of Jesus, everyone. Hallelujah. Let us pray. We give you glory, Lord. We give you thanks this morning. We bless your name, for you are good and your mercies endure forever. We magnify you for all the wonderful things that you do in our lives. You watch over us. You preserve us. You redeem our lives from destruction. You cause your goodness and your mercies to follow us. You frustrate the plans of the enemy against us. And you do beyond our imaginations and our expectations. This morning we lift your name up and glorify you. Wherever you are, just bless God and thank him. Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless his name this morning. Bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, somebody. Wherever you are, wherever you're standing this morning, reflect on the goodness of the Lord in your life. Reflect on it. There are so many things that God does for us that we take for granted. There are things that we just gloss over. But you are who you are by the grace of God. And you are where you are by the grace of God. Lift his name up and glorify him today. We bless you. We bless you, Jesus. More than my mouth can testify, more than my mind can comprehend. See, I see the wonders of your grace. I'm so sure that this is not the end. Take it again from the top. More than my mouth can testify.
More than my mouth can testify.
More than my mind can comprehend.
More than
hallelujah.
My mind can comprehend.
Said, see, I've seen the wonders of your grace.
I've seen the wonders of your grace.
I'm so sure.
I'm so sure that this is not the end.
Oh,
is able there, see how far you brought me.
Oh,
is able there, I'm so glad you found me worthy. I can see, I can tell.
Oh yes, that you found me worthy of praise. sing the second verse with me. My heart is full of gratitude.
My heart is full of gratitude.
To you and no one else but you.
To you and no one else but you.
Lord, I'm here only by your grace.
I'm here only by your grace.
Thank you, Jesus, for not giving
Thank
up on
you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
For not giving up.
My heart is full of gratitude. My heart.
My heart is full of gratitude. Everyone, praise his name. Give him glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus. And as we move into your word this morning, we pray once again that you will speak. The entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to your people. Let us receive light and understanding today in Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
A louder amen will do.
Amen.
And clap your hands, all ye saints,
awesome.
And celebrate the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, sit on top of your enemies right now. Reveals whether you are having an emphatic victory over him or not. So did you sit down well on him? Do it again. Sit on top of your enemy. Yeah, he will rise again in the name of Jesus. Clap unto the Lord, my friends. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I am glad to announce to you by the grace of God that today is our last Sunday here. Meyina ye, meyina swaye, metana se, medaminya miya se, medaminya miya se.
Great things he has done. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things. Somebody give the Lord a shout of glory. Indeed, to God be the glory.
Amen.
Great things he has done. Next week. All right? It's been an amazing journey. And when we look at where God has brought us from and where he has brought us to, the only thing that we can say is we are grateful and that this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know that he hasn't finished with us yet. This is just the beginning. And when you look at how far God has brought this church, it's a prophetic indication to you that in your own personal life as well, God is going to lift you to greater heights. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And for 2.5 years, we have been meeting and fellowshipping here. But it's time to take the Ark of the Covenant into the tabernacle. And like Obed-Edom, we can say that God has blessed us in this place. But he's taking us to a new place. And we know that the goodness and mercies of the Lord will multiply unto us.
Amen.
So next week, Sunday, don't even think of stepping foot here. Tell your neighbor, this is your last time of coming here. Put your hands together for Jesus again. So, at the tail end of the service, I'll give you an announcement about how the whole thing is going to play out.
Amen.
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 God bless you. You may be seated. Let's pass the word across to the rest of the brethren. I wish I can show some people. Like, we won't tell them, do you see? So that next week, Sunday, they will come here. Then when they get to the gate, they say, ah, now sorry, no way. Should we do it to them? Oh, you don't want me to show some people small? Should I show them or I shouldn't show them? Hallelujah. But God has been good, hasn't he?
Sir.
Just lift up your voice and thank the Lord. Just give him thanks for all that he has done for us. Thank him.
Shabada Labadi, Sandabada Labada Labadi, Labadi, and Bayawada, Sabada, Katada, Librada, Dosi, and Diaba, Sandabada, Librada, Dabasi, Dibrikato, Diaba, Alabra, Sabada, Gabada, Yakada, Dabo, Sabada, Librada,
we give you thanks,
Jesus.
We bless you in Jesus' name. Will you please turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11-16. I went to preach this morning at the Afenya Technical Institute again, but their PA system didn't work. So I had to preach with my natural voice. So my throat is a little sore. So forgive me if I sound croaky. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11-16.
Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new doctrine or by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Jesus, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I want to draw your attention to certain phrases and sentences in the scripture that we just read. And move to verse 12 for me. It says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Then go to verse 13. Now there's a sentence there that I want you to understand, or that phrase that says that we will be mature in the Lord, that we will be mature in the Lord. Then also underline, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. And this is about becoming like Jesus. Is that not so? Alright, the next verse. Verse 14. It says that we will no longer be immature like children. That we will no longer be immature like children. Underline that also in your Bible. That we will no longer be immature like children. Verse 15. Now you see the part that says growing in every way more and more like Christ. Underline that also. Growing. Everybody say growing.
Say
growing in every way more and more like Jesus.
Say and
then verse 16. The last part, it says so that the whole body is healthy and growing, see, growing again and full of love. Underline
that.
So the parts that I made you underline, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ, then we will no longer be immature like children. Then elsewhere it says in verse 15, growing in every way more and more like Christ. And then finally verse 16, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you to look at verse 15 again, but this time in the New International Version. And I want to say that it is important to have different versions of the Bible. And there have been a lot of arguments about which version is the best. I don't know why people like to stir up controversy. I mean, you are entitled to your opinion. And just like everybody has a nose, everybody has an opinion. You can express it. But don't create the impression that your opinion is the law of Moses. And that we must take it. All I know is that there are different versions of the Bible. And every version has something to offer. So let's not get into this argument of which is the most authentic version. You know, there are a lot of things out there on the social media. And I want to say that the social media has been a helpful tool. But it's also an instrument for disinformation. And you have to be careful of what you pay attention to. And people use the social media to perpetuate their own evil agendas. So you should always be careful. And you yourself, be very careful of what you put out there. And I think that some of us are not very discreet. Everything to do with your life, you have put it out there. You have just given birth to a new baby. And you have put the baby's picture on
Facebook,
on TikTok. So let's be careful. But I'm warning you, be very careful of the things you pay attention to. Because people have their own agenda for the things that they put out there. And I want you to be very discerning as you move along. How did we get into all this? Because I was talking about versions of the Bible. So Ephesians 4:15 NIV. It says, instead speaking the truth in love, tell your neighbor, please tell me the truth. But tell me the truth in love, and I'll be very happy with you. Amen. It says, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We will grow to become in every respect. Hey, this NIV thing is becoming a problem because my version is different from your version. So there's something. So would you hear me? Maybe you know. That we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You would recall that about 2 weeks ago, I shared with you on the main responsibility of ministers of the gospel. Do you remember?
Okay.
Yes, and The truth is that I didn't complete that message. And I don't like loose ends. I like to tie up things nicely and neatly. So there's a part of the message that I felt impressed on my heart to share with you today. So please permit me to go back to it. And this is part two of it. The main responsibility of ministers of the gospel. So this is part two. And you can subtitle it Attaining Maturity. Attaining Maturity. I told you the other day that when I say ministers of the gospel, I am referring to Christian leaders. Those who lead us in the drive to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to advance the kingdom of God. And I explained to you that the main responsibility or part of the main responsibility of the ministers of the gospel is to equip believers to do the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. Contrary to popular opinion, it is not ministers of the gospel who are the ones who are supposed to be doing the work, although they do the work in a certain sense, which is the work of God or the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is multifaceted. It has different dimensions. It includes witnessing for Jesus, winning souls, following them up, praying for them, establishing them, serving in the house of God, giving to support the kingdom of God, doing good works. All of that put together describe the work of the ministry. And the truth is this. Ministers of the gospel are supposed to equip the believers. And once the Christians or the believers under them are equipped, they are expected to do the work of the ministry and to build the church. What it means, therefore, is that once the believers are equipped, if the church is not being built and the work is not going on well, then the issue is with the members of the church. It means that they are not doing what they have been equipped to do. So I explained that to you the other day. But there's also something else referred to in this scripture that has to do with the main responsibility of ministers of the gospel. And for a few minutes, I want to draw your attention to those things. A certain aspect of the responsibility of ministers of the gospel. So you can write this down. Another aspect of the responsibility of the ministers of the gospel is to work on the believers under them to become mature in Christ. Another aspect of the responsibility of ministers of the gospel is to work on the believers under them, the Christians under them, to become mature in Christ. So if you look at verse 12 and 13 of Ephesians chapter 4, it says their responsibility. Whose responsibility? Who? the ministers of the gospel, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, it is their responsibility to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Then it goes on and says, this will continue. This will continue. So what will continue? What will continue? Their responsibility. Their equipping of God's people will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son. Then take note of it, that we will be mature in the Lord. That we will be mature in the Lord. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So you can see God's expectation for you and I. That we will be mature in the Lord. And it is the responsibility of the ministers of the gospel to equip us to do the work of the ministry. And not just that, they are supposed to work on us and impart our lives so that we will become mature in the Lord. So I want to submit to you, my friends, that part of the main responsibility of ministers of the gospel is to work on the believers, on the Christians under them, to become mature in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number two, to mature in Christ is to grow and develop in him in several regards: spiritually, physically, morally, mentally, and even emotionally. To mature in Christ is to grow and develop in him in several regards: spiritually, physically, especially in controlling ourselves, morally, in doing what is right, mentally. That means you got to grow and mature in the way you think. And emotionally, it means emotionally you must be stable. You must be mature in the way you feel, in the way you react to things, in your expression of your emotions. You must mature. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number three. Maturing in Christ is a continuous lifelong process. Maturing in Christ is a continuous lifelong process. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now look at verse 14. Is that verse 14? NLT. Okay. It says, verse 15 actually. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Then growing in every way more and more like Christ. Growing in every way more and more like Christ. It's a continuous thing. Growing, maturing, because when you're growing, you are maturing. Growing in every way more and more like Christ. So when we talk about maturing in Christ, I will have you understand that it's a continuous and it's a lifelong process. We are supposed to be maturing as we advance in the Christian faith, becoming more and more like Jesus. But the pinnacle of our maturity will be when we finally put on our glorified bodies. When we exit from this world and we step into eternity, that is when our maturity will become complete. Till then, we are supposed to be advancing in our maturity, and it's a continuous thing, and it's a lifelong process. You cannot get to a point where you say that I've finished maturing and there's no more progress I can make in the different areas of my life. For as long as you live on this earth, you can mature a bit more. All of us are at different levels of Christian maturity. Some of us are at a higher level. Some of us are low down below. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we need to press on. And whichever level you find yourself, there is a need to persist and persevere so that you can progress in your level of maturity. Because, ladies and gentlemen, maturing in Christ is a continuous lifelong process. Can I have an amen from somebody?
Amen.
Number four. And I've already touched on that. We will achieve full maturity at the very end. When we step into eternity. And when our complete salvation is fully manifested, that is when we will fully be like Christ. Say it again. We will achieve full maturity at the very end. And please take note of the words that I'm using. Full maturity. We will achieve full maturity at the very end. When we step into eternity. And when our complete salvation is fully manifested. So as it is now, our salvation is already been completed. But the manifestation of that full completion will be when we step into eternity. That's when we will not be having any more struggles. This old flesh will be replaced with the glorified body. And when that happens, that is when we will fully be like Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Attaining maturity. Number five. And we are coming close to the end of the sermon. Now, the following are some of the signs that we are attaining maturity. Because you can see that God's expectation for us is that we will mature in Him. That we will mature in Christ. And He's expecting us, the ministers of the gospel, to work on ourselves. And also to work on the people that God has placed us over. To equip them to do the work of the ministry. But not just that. But to also work on the people that He has placed under us. Work on them so that they will mature. Because that is part of God's expectation for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now we are asking ourselves that what is the sign? What are some of the signs that show that we are attaining maturity or we are growing in our level of maturity? Now these signs are important so that each and every one of us can assess ourselves. I tell you, in this life, there is a need for self-assessment and self-judgment. Don't be overly concerned about others. Of course, God expects us to think about others and esteem others better than ourselves. But it is also important that you focus on yourself and work on yourself. And don't be diverted by what somebody is doing or not doing. Because everyone must bear his or her own burden at the end of the day. So we are talking about attaining maturity. It is one of God's major expectations for us. Yes, he wants us to do the work of the ministry. He wants us to be ministers of the gospel ourselves in our own way. He wants us to be disciples in the true meaning of that word. And he wants to work through us to build his body, the church. But in doing all of that, he has an expectation of you and I that we will mature. That we will be growing in maturity. So how do we know? How can we tell whether we are actually maturing in Christ? There are many signs. But based on the scripture that we looked at, we want to narrow things down to what is spoken about here. Maybe on another occasion, we can investigate the other signs that indicate maturity in Christ. But from what we looked at in Ephesians 4, one of the signs that we are attaining maturity is unity in the faith. Unity in the faith. So in verse 13 of Ephesians 4, it says this will continue. What the ministers of the gospel are doing to equip the believers under them, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith. Until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord. So the maturity here is being measured by how closely we have come to attaining unity in our faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature. So one of the ways of telling your maturity is whether you understand unity in the faith and you are striving for it. Now you see, unity in the faith is understanding and accepting that though we are many and there are many churches, we all belong to one faith and one body in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what unity of the faith is about. To get to the point where you understand, where you champion this truth, that we are many. We may have differences, but all of us, all the different churches, all the different denominations, whoever they are, wherever they are, if they have truly accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, then we must understand that we are one body and we are operating under one faith. And we must understand that we need each other to survive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if anyone keeps stressing our differences, if any pastor, any man of God is always stressing on our differences and is always seeking to divide us, turning us against one another, then that person is not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Period. Because if you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit and you are maturing in the Lord, you will understand that we are one body. we are one faith. There are differences. But the things that unite us and the things that we have in common are far more than the things that divide us. So there's a need to emphasize on the pillars of the Christian faith and on the things that we have in common, the things that unite us, rather than the things that divide us. Whenever we emphasize on the unity of the faith, and whenever we emphasize on our togetherness, it shows that we are maturing. But when we are always stressing on the differences and we are dividing one another, as is something that keeps happening in Christendom today. And it is there, it is real. Now that thing shows that there is a question mark on our maturity. Because we need each other to survive. There's a song. Go up. Where is he? It's okay. Alright, that's fine. We'll sing it later on. So, unity in the faith is a sign of our maturity. Number two, how do we know that we are maturing in the Lord? When we are increasing in our knowledge of Christ. As you are increasing in your knowledge of Christ, it shows that you are maturing. If you are not increasing in your knowledge of Christ, you are not maturing. The third sign, when you put away childish things and stop the childishness, it shows that you are maturing. Look at verse 14 of Ephesians 4. That we will no longer be immature like children. That we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. It is when you are maturing that you are able to tell when people are trying to trick you. Telling you things that sound so true. And it sounds very clever. But there's a problem with it. And it is only when you are mature, when you have matured or you are maturing in your knowledge of Christ, that you'll be able to read in between the lines and realize that there is a problem with what is being said to me. So in the first part of verse 14, it says, then we will no longer be immature like children. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, or when I matured, I put away childish things. Now, children have a way they talk. They have a way they think. They have the way they act. They have a way they reason. And the Bible says we must not be immature like children. So children have a way they think, a way they act, and a way they behave. Now, not everything that children do is negative. Otherwise, Jesus will not have said to us that we should become like little children so that we can assess the kingdom of heaven. So the simplicity of children, their faith and their humility, is something that we must aspire to achieve in our quest to make it to heaven. But not everything about children is positive. There are a lot of negativities associated with children. What are some of the negative things we see about children as we
choose?
How are children? Tell me. You tell me. They are what? They are naive. They are naive. Now, when we say that they are naive, what we are trying to say is that it is easy to deceive them. Easy to deceive them. That means that they are easily swayed or persuaded. Is it true about children?
Amen.
So when God says we should not be immature like children, it means that we shouldn't be like that. It means that we shouldn't be easily swayed. We shouldn't be easily persuaded. We shouldn't be naive. As the person sitting by you, Charlie, how are you like? Are you naive? It means that you are still immature. It means that you are like a child. Tell me more. Tell me more. What are some of the other negative traits about children? They are easily offended. Is it true? What do you think? It's true about children. They are easily offended. Especially when they are in the baby stage. If the child wants to drink breast milk, and then maybe for some reason you take the mouth of the breast from his mouth, come and hear crying. It's as if the whole world is coming down. Easily offended. All right. So when you are like that, when you are easily offended, it shows that you are not maturing. Give me more. Give me more. You're preaching to me today. What are some of the other signs? They are unstable. They are unstable. So it means that their ability to focus and be focused on something that they are doing, it's not there. So they are unstable. You will give a child a toy, then it will be happy with the toy, playing with it. Then the next time, he's thrown the toy away. Ask him, where is it?
He's
just scattered the toy. So they are not focused. They are unstable. And God wants us to move away from that thing. He wants us to be stable. He wants us to be focused. Give me more. Give me more. They are disorganized. They are disorganized. What else? They can't stay at one place. Look, one of the most difficult things to do is to tell a child, sit here. It's like, don't move. Sit here. Stay at this place. Some of us are like that. Is it true? It is true. Some of us are like that. We can't stay in one place. And it's a sign that we are not maturing. What else? Mommy, you said something I didn't hear. You said ought. Always complaining. You be there now, then a child will come. Ask him, what is the matter? Is it not Adwa? Adwa said my face like monkey. Then tell the child, your face is not like monkey. Hey, Adwa, don't tell her that her face is like monkey again. Say, yes, mama. Then you go. Then we don't know, he will come back. What is it again? Kwejo says that my head like
coconut.
Don't mind him. Your head is beautiful. Your head is not like coconut. Hey, Kwejo, Don't mind him, okay? Stop crying. Then you go. He'll be there, no? He'll come again. What is it this time? I said that Insia pinched me. He pinched me. So it's like one complaint after the other. Are you feeling me? Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now, when you are like that, it shows that you are not mature. Always complaining. Always unhappy. Children cry a lot. Children are impatient. They are impatient. If there's something that they want, if they don't get it at a certain time, they freak out. Impatient. One of the signs of your maturity is your ability to wait for God to do what he says he will do in your life. When you are impatient and you are always moving ahead of God, it shows that you are not maturing. Easily frustrated. That's also with children. When they are trying to do something and it's not working, they get frustrated. When we were children, we go and play football. The ball is for you. As you are playing the ball, your side is not winning. At a point, you get frustrated. You catch the ball, put it under your armpits. I say, game the air then.
Yapon.
Frustrated. Easily frustrated. Look, life, eh? It's full of a lot of things that can frustrate you. But one of the signs of your maturity is to stay focused and stay stable in the face of the frustrations and keep pressing on. If you think that everything is going to go smoothly for you as you serve God in the house of God, as you are trying to please God, if you think that everything is going to run smoothly, that everybody will like you, that everybody will treat you well, that everybody will say good things about you, if you think that that is how it's going to be, you'll be frustrated and you'll be affected and you will just be there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Children are selfish and self-centered. Is that not so? Children only think about now. Yeah. One of the mistakes you should never make is to tell a child that I have bought something for you. When do they want it?
Now.
They will hound you. If you are not strong, you'll give it to them. Pastor Elvis is still like that. Really? If you have something, he wants you.
Elvis,
your friend is trying to choke you. What? He says we should ask Pastor James, what has he bought for him that he's asking him? Because he can't see. Wow. Lack of control. When you're a child, you're not able to control anything. Is that not so? That's why, especially when they are little, they can't control themselves. We on themselves everywhere. People on themselves everywhere. It's a sign that you're not maturing. If we are not growing in our ability to control ourselves, control our feelings, control our desires, it's a sign that we are not maturing. Easily offended and hurt. Impulsive and reactionary. You don't think deeply about things. It shows that you're a child. Children like to eat sweets instead of the proper food. If you leave that child of yours, he will only eat biscuits and toffee all his life. And the immature Christians, when they come to church, they they only want to hear messages like take it, receive it, take it, receive it, take it one, take it two, take it three. Those are the only messages they want to receive. So as you are teaching them, like the way I'm teaching you, so far have you taken, have I asked you to take anything? So you may leave this meeting and say that no, today's service was not good because they didn't ask me to take anything. It shows that you are immature. And we talked about easily swayed or persuaded. And it goes on and on and on. Now, I think I should end here. But the point that I'm making to you is simply this. That our responsibility as ministers of the gospel, an aspect of it, is to equip you so that you can do the work and help to build the body of Christ. But part of our responsibility also is to work on ourselves and to work on you so that you will grow, so that you will mature, so that you become progressively more like Jesus. That's part of our work. And God is expecting it of all of us. That challenge, we got to mature. We must attain maturity. We must attain maturity. Increase in our knowledge of Christ. And put the childish things away. The childishness. To put them away and rise up to maturity. God is expecting that of us. And I want you to decide and to determine that enough of the childishness. It's time to move a notch higher on the ladder of maturity. Because till you get there, there are certain things you never see in your life. Do you know that there are certain blessings that you never give to a child? Because he cannot handle it. You are not likely to buy an iPhone, the latest version, and give it to your six-year-old child. Unless you have a lot of money and you don't know what to do with it. Yeah. You are not likely to do that. Because you know that the child is not mature. He cannot handle it. Could it be? Could it be that there are certain blessings that God has packaged for you and it's been waiting in the storeroom of heaven? It's been there for a long time and it's not manifested yet because you're not maturing. You can't handle it. Why is the husband not coming? I say, why is the husband not coming? Sometimes, not all the time. It may be that when he comes, you sack him. Why is the wife not coming? It may be because if she comes now, with the way you are, you will drive her to madness. You will beat her. Because you are not maturing. Everything, no, then you freaked out. My friend, marriage, eh? There's a lot of nonsense. And he's riding on the shoulders of what I'm saying to score his points. Yeah, there's a lot of nonsense. Yeah. If you can't take nonsense, you cannot marry. Why is the visa not coming? If it comes, once you get to America, I mean you, the way you are now. You see, now you come to church. You lift up your hands. And you pray. And you fast. If you get there. Agbena. Or if you get America. Do you know why you are not getting your green card? Do you know why? That's it. I I'm saying something to you. Is there a certain place that God wants to lift you to, but he hasn't done that yet? And could it be that the reason for the delay is that there are still things that need to be worked out in you, to be straightened up in you? Otherwise, when the blessing comes, you can't handle it. Look, some of us, when we get money,
hey.
You see, your humility now is because
who niche.
I think one of the greatest mysteries of life is those who don't have anything, but they are still very proud. I think that that's the wildest kind of pride. But some of us, if you start earning a certain kind of income, we can't you. We can't you. If you get money, even Onantia, you see, now when you are walking and we see you, we see you as a very humble brother. You're walking. And people are saying, what a humble brother. I mean, sometimes the way we think of it is very funny. So just because somebody walks like then you watch when the money comes.
Johnny Walker.
So first, you know, the face is like this. Humble. Wait, my name, Chani Ye. Humble. Now, when you see Kantu, why you gay?
Why you gay?
So even the face. Very, when you approach the person, yes, what is it? What do you want? Is it money? Is it money that you want? Is that why you're chasing? Is it money that? I'm saying that the way things are with some of us, it may well be that that's the reason why God hasn't opened certain doors. But as we mature, as we rise in our level of maturity, you will see how certain doors will begin to open. And the doors will just, this door will open pine.
Amen.
That door will open
Amen.
Pine. That door will open pine.
Amen.
That door will open pine.
Amen.
May the Holy Spirit help us all
Amen.
To rise up in
Amen.
Our level of maturity.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 Put your hands together for Jesus. Rise to your feet and let us close. Father, we thank you today. We are grateful for your word. Holy Spirit, help us to increase in our level of maturity. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. You may be here today. Somebody invited you to church. But you're not saved. You're not born again. You don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Trust me, if you're born again, you will know. If you're saved, you will know. If you are uncertain about it, then the possibility is that you are not really saved. But there's a fine opportunity for you, my friend, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And today I want to pray with you. You want to bow your knees to Jesus. The time to bow those knees is now, not tomorrow. Today I preach the message at Afenya Technical Institute. If tomorrow comes, the thing about tomorrow is that it's not guaranteed. So if there's a major decision to take, you got to take it now. And right now, Jesus is stretching forth his hands to you. You may be watching me, but the Lord is calling you. He's not calling you to mess your life up, but he's calling you to himself to make your life beautiful. I'm going to pray with you today. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Wherever you are, I want you to lift up your right hand. You may even be watching me. You are in your room or wherever, but you are watching this broadcast. I assure you that God can see you. Yes, right where you are, he can see you. And he's expecting you to take this step for him. Lift up your hand if you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. God bless you. I see your hand. And now I want you to pray this prayer with me. And let everybody join in the prayer. Say, dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Oh God, forgive me all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he came to die for me. I believe after 3 days, he rose again. I believe he's alive forevermore. Today, I give him my heart. I give him my life. I will serve him for the rest of my life through the help of the Holy Spirit. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.